welcome to the South Elkhorn Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the weekly messages. For bulletin material, reflection guides, and other resources, visit southelkhorncc.org.
Thank you, Dane, and congratulations again to those amazing young people who graduating from Worship and Wonder, completing that program, now get to be in here, and will likely observe a number of things that are very similar to what they might have experienced in Worship and Wonder, what you might have experienced in Worship and Wonder. You'll notice that we share a sacred meal together. You'll notice that we'll read a story of God together. You'll notice that we light a candle and we extinguish that candle at the end of the service, and in fact, even say some of the same words that are shared in Worship and Wonder. For those of you who don't know, Worship and Wonder is a wonderful, beautiful program where children learn the stories of God and do so from a place of curiosity and wonder. And I hope, I pray that our worship service in here is a place that cultivates curiosity and wonder as well. That as we gather to pray and to break bread, as we gather to read the stories of God and to reflect on what it means to be a person of faith, that we would do so with great curiosity and wonder. Indeed, maybe that's what it means to be a disciple of Christ, to be a kind of person of faith, always learning, learning with a sense of curiosity and wonder, marveling at the beauty and joy and fullness of everything that God has made and God's presence in everything, and recognizing that maybe we haven't discovered all there is quite yet. Every fall, it's become my habit to take a step back in a sermon or sermon series and reflect on the question of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, what it means to be a spiritual person on a journey of faith embedded in a religious community, what it means to be seeing, glimpsing, learning, discovering who God is through the person of Jesus Christ. That is what it is to be a disciple of Christ. I think it's important from time to time to remind ourselves why we're here, what we're doing, and why the way that we do it here matters. I think it's important to ask ourselves what it means to be a disciple in this day and in this age, in this context. I think it matters for us to think about and reflect on the gifts that we might have to bear on the healing, to bear on the hope that our world needs. And so this morning, I want to invite you into a story that I hope will help us reflect more deeply on what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Now, you might think that I would invite you into a story about Jesus calling disciples. You might think that I would invite you into Jesus' teaching, perhaps in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, where he's expounding on the nature of faith and the meaning of life in faith in community. But instead this morning, I want to invite you into a story you might not expect, even if it's a story you know quite well. If you spent any time in church, I suspect you've heard this story. If you've been in Worship and Wonder, you've probably heard this story. It's a story that is powerful, and although brief in the verses we'll read, is packed with so much, perhaps more than we've yet discovered or fully understood. I can say from my own experience, it is more than I realized or fully understood, and I suspect will always continue to be, which is part of the joy and beauty of Scripture, perhaps the joy and beauty of life. So I want to invite you this morning to turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, to read a story found in verses 16 through the end of the chapter. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. I still remember when I received the notebook. I was given a notebook sitting around this table, as was everyone else who was sitting around this table, received this notebook, and I don't remember exactly what she said to do with it, but I remember feeling like what I was supposed to do with it was pay attention. Pay attention. If this was a way for me to cultivate paying attention, that if I was going to be good at what we were gathered here to learn about, if I was going to be good at this thing that I was learning all about, then I would have to learn as well how to cultivate attention, paying attention. I was in a preaching class. The Reverend Dr. Cynthia Lindner, who was the director of the ministry program, taught the preaching class. She'd been a congregational pastor for perhaps 20 years and was now practicing her gifts of ministry in the academic context and was leading our preaching class. And one of the first things she did was she handed us all a notebook. And she said, or maybe she didn't say, what I remember, what I felt in my heart was, you're here in this school to learn the nuance and complexity and the layers of interpretation for interpreting a text, Scripture. But there's more to preaching than that. Indeed, what I remembered and felt and took away from her giving us this notebook was perhaps there's more to the life of faith than that. That it's important that we learn how to pay attention. Because any moment, any interaction, any person, any experience can be brimming with the presence of God. Because any moment, any experience, any interaction can preach if we know how to look, if we know how to listen, if we're paying attention. Now, I came to school to learn how to do some of the arts of ministry, to learn how to better understand and engage with Scripture, to do the hard work of interpretation, but it was surprising, even refreshing for me to hear, and pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Later, I would discover and read about someone who had given a lot of thought to this idea of attention, and who even said some really beautiful and powerful things, that attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. Simone Weil writes that the gift of our attention is a gift that we can lavish on others, that we can share with the world. She actually goes on to write as well that a lot of folks, a lot of people often want to cure our faults by trying harder at something, by finding a new regimen or routine or new habit, by doing something to fix whatever ails us, whatever plagues us, whatever self-sabotage we inflict upon ourselves, if we can just try harder. And she writes in one of her notebooks this beautiful, beautiful insight. She says, we'll never cure our faults by sheer force of will, but only by learning to pay attention, by opening ourselves up to receive healing, wholeness, grace, the very presence of God. Attention. Pay attention. I don't remember if Dr. Lindner ever said, pay attention, but I remember taking it away, what matters most is that I learn how to pay attention. And I will say, in our day and age, it is hard to pay attention. I don't mean general, everyday pay attention. I mean, we can get through life paying enough attention to get through life. I'm talking about deep, full, wide open attention. The kind of attention where we take in the beauty and the wonder and the mystery of what is in front of us, where we can be surprised by all that we might have missed had we not been paying this kind of attention. Pay attention. So I was paying attention when Dr. Lindner came, was awarded with an award this summer, and I was at the banquet there to applaud her and support her and stand in awe for her and the gifts that she had given and the ways that she has contributed to the academy, to the classroom, to ministers and professionals and people living out their faith. I was there and I was paying attention when she began to reflect on what it means to be a disciple. And I said, that'll preach. So I want to share with you some of the ways that she has inspired me, not only to pay attention, but the ways that she put that attention into shape and form for me by suggesting this, that being a disciple is about being a lifelong learner, a humble lifelong learner, characterized by three attributes: begotten, bewildered, beholding. Three attributes, three characteristics that I found, discovered, rediscovered in the passage of Scripture that we read. So I want to expand upon that a little bit this morning. I want to invite you to consider what it means in this day and age, in this context, in this time when so much is competing for our attention, and when so much is competing for our attention that turns out to divide us and make us hostile to one another, depletes us and exhausts us, disconnects us. What does it mean to pay attention in a different kind of way? And what does that mean as a person of faith? Well, the story we read this morning, the very brief scene this morning, is Jesus. And in an interesting location, Jesus is in the wilderness. He's in the outskirts, on the edges of civilization. He's gone out to the Jordan River there with John, and he's in the wilderness. And if we pay attention to the stories of Scripture, we know that the wilderness is an important place where big things happen, where transitional moments happen, where the Israelites who have fled slavery in Egypt wander in the wilderness before entering the Promised Land, where they go through a time of transition and recalibration and preparation for what comes next. The wilderness represents being on the edge. It's a space that is unknown. It is wild. It is untamed. It's this edge, untamed, wild place where Jesus goes and is baptized. And when Jesus is baptized, he enters into a tradition that has preceded him, a tradition, a ritual tradition of initiation, of beginning something new. Jesus comes onto the scene, and yet he's carrying with him the stories that have preceded him. He's carrying with him traditions that have preceded him. He's entering into connections that are wider and bigger than himself, and he does so in a beautiful and compelling way. As he enters into the waters of baptism, the stories of what God has done with water are recalled. We read that the heavens split. What happened to the Israelites leaving Egypt? The Red Sea, was parted and split open. We're meant to see and experience these connections. When Jesus enters into the waters, he's doing so as one begotten, one who is bringing with him what has come before. Indeed, if you're a church nerd, a theology nerd, and I think there's maybe one and a half of you here, the word begotten carries a lot of theological weight. In one of the ancient creeds, the Nicene Creed, it says that the Son was begotten, not made, and there has been a lot of ink spilled on just exactly what that means. But in a nutshell, if I had to put my spin on it, I'd say this: that the Son in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Son has always been in relationship to God, that the Son comes in relationship. The Son doesn't exist by himself, is not derivative, is fully equal with God, and comes already in relationship. Say what you will about Trinitarian theology, I think there's something beautiful there about thinking how each and every one of us and Christ himself comes already in relationship, comes already charged with what has come before us, comes already charged with connections to all that is, comes begotten. You and I, Christ himself, we are begotten. We are begotten because what has happened before, the people who have loved us and cared for us and helped us and shown us the way and taught us and perhaps taught us ways that we're now learning to unlearn, all of that comes with us and is part of what it means to be a disciple. We are not self-made. We are shaped by what has come before. And we might see that as a limitation, but I see it as a great and beautiful gift. A gift that invites us to understand the traditions that have shaped us, the ideas that have shaped us, the people who have shaped us, and help us hold that with a kind of tenderness and gentleness so that we don't let that be the perhaps the only story that has to be told about us, even if it remains an important one that is a part of our life. You and I, all of us, we are begotten. What it means to be a disciple is to be one who acknowledges and recognizes that we are begotten, and to be okay and accept with the traditions and the stories and the things that have shaped us, just as Christ entered in to that water and entered into the tradition of baptism to be shaped by it. Even as he does it, he also transforms it. He brings a new meaning to it. He invites us to see it differently. Begotten. You and I, we too, we are begotten. And being begotten means that we have the great gift to acknowledge of all the ways that we've been loved and supported and shaped. It also means we have to pay attention to our blind spots, to the limitations of our thinking, to the limited ideas that maybe have served us in one season that won't serve us in another. Being a disciple is about being a learner who is self-reflective and can acknowledge that it's okay to change our minds and to think differently. That the ideas we hold don't define us in the end, even as they matter to us. To be begotten means that we are willing to humble ourselves before our own limitations. It means that we're willing to acknowledge that we are incomplete. Means to acknowledge that we don't know everything, even as there are great things that we have learned along the way. Begotten. I mentioned that Jesus entered into the wilderness. He entered in this time of transition. He is transitioning into his public ministry. This baptism moment is a key pivotal moment in the story in Matthew's gospel, as well as in the other gospel accounts, where Jesus then starts doing something new. He starts becoming public in his ministry of teaching and healing and ministering. Dr. Linder raised up the idea that it's okay to go into the wilderness, or as she put it, to be bewildered, to not know, to be in transition, to be entering into something new, unsure exactly where that will take you. Now, importantly, not knowing is not the kind of shrug your shoulders, I don't care, not knowing. It's the kind of not knowing, the kind of not knowing that invites us to learn and to grow and to trust. It's the kind of not knowing that cares deeply, even as we are uncertain. We live in a time when perhaps what is wild is diminishing and shrinking, and ever smaller, both out in nature and sometimes, if we're honest, in ourselves. We might think we know ourselves. We know all there is to know about ourselves. We might think we know the people who we live with, who we're shoulder to shoulder with, who we work with, who we minister with. We might think there's nothing wild or left to discover in anyone else. It's okay to be bewildered, because maybe being bewildered is acknowledging and recognizing that we don't know it all, including all about ourselves, all about the people we love. Being bewildered is making room in our hearts and in our spirits to be surprised, because we're paying attention and we're noticing people and the world and ourselves. Begotten, bewildered. There's a great story from a Kentucky pioneer is said to have shared with Daniel Boone. Asked Daniel Boone if he'd ever gotten lost in the forest, and Daniel Boone said, "Lost? No, but I've been bewildered for a few weeks. But I kept on going. I kept on going." Perhaps what it means to be a disciple of Christ is to be begotten, and celebrate and embrace that we are people who bring with us ideas, traditions, experiences that have shaped us. Perhaps what it means to be a lifelong learner, a disciple, means that we recognize it's okay to be bewildered, to go through a season of not knowing, and to keep on going. Not because we don't care, but because we care deeply. Maybe being a disciple also means learning how to behold. Beholding. Perhaps you recall this from other parts of Scripture where the word behold shows up. Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, says the angel. Behold, I make all things new. Did you know the word behold is actually in the passage of scripture that we read? Let me read it for you again. But this time I'm going to drop the word in where it shows up in the Greek but has been skipped in our English translations. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Pay attention. Behold. Perhaps what it means to be a disciple of Christ, perhaps what it means to be a spiritual person embedded in a religious community on the journey of faith, learning to experience and discover God through Jesus Christ, perhaps what it means is learning how to pay attention such that we behold. Behold. You see, it's one thing to look and observe. It's another thing to behold. When you behold something, you don't just look at something. You are changed by what you see. I think the word behold in there is for us. Behold. This moment when Jesus is baptized, the heavens have opened. God is here in and with this person. The life he is going to lead, the people he's going to care about, the love he is going to bring to bear, the new life he is going to make possible, the reconciliation and redemption of the world. Behold, can you see it as he enters the water? Behold, this isn't just any person. This is someone whom God loves, my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Behold, this is a child of God, a beloved one. Behold, can you see it? And not just see it, does it change you? I remember moments when what I was expecting to see isn't what I saw, and it impacted me greatly. It left a mark on my soul. I remember when I was standing at the end of the aisle, waiting for that moment when my bride would walk down the aisle. And she had told me, she said, Michael, my dress has pink. And I thought that meant my dress has pink in it. It was a pink dress. And I was stunned and blown away, and it was beautiful, and it messed me up as tears just came to my face because there was the surprise of someone I thought I knew, and yet didn't know everything about. And I beheld her with love and the joy of knowing that there was more yet to discover with her. To behold is not just to look at something. It's not just to walk through life. To behold is to see in the face of another person the very presence of God, is to see in a sunset, yes, in a beautiful hike, yes, but also in mowing the lawn, the beauty of God's creation. In tending to a garden, the glory and wonder of God. In your own reflection in the mirror, the beauty of God's handiwork. In the child that you're talking with, the beauty of God's presence. In the people you show up to church with and serve alongside and share communion with, the presence of God. In the neighbor who gets on your very last nerve, and will they ever fix that issue that has been on your mind for the very presence and beauty and wonder of God. In that person who votes differently than you, to behold in them a child of God. I think the invitation to being a disciple of Christ is to being a lifelong learner. The word disciple comes from a Latin word which means to learn or to discern. There's another word similar to it that means to comprehend, to grasp, to contest, to dispute, to debate. I think that part of what it means to be a disciple of Christ is to enter into a process of conversation with others, to learn and to grow. Because what we have to bear, the traditions, the people, the ideas that have shaped us, are worth sharing with others, even if they're incomplete and even if they're not perfect. Because it's okay to change our minds, and it's okay to go through a season of change, and it's okay to come out on the other side different and new. And even if we don't know yet how it will all turn out, to keep on going. And because the invitation of faith is to pay attention, to learn how to behold, to even behold Scripture and see that there's so much there that we've yet to discover and understand, and to understand that when we engage Scripture, we don't do it to memorize a verse. We don't do it to know a word. We do it because we approach it the same way we approach all of life, trusting that when we open our hearts and minds, God will be there to show us something new. Behold, Christ has entered the water, the heavens have opened, and God's love is shining forth. Do you see it? Are you paying attention? Behold. As you leave this place and you look into the eyes of other people, as you see smiles and frowns, straight faces, do you see it? Can you behold it? The gift of being a disciple is not knowing it all or having it all figured out. It's being humble enough to be in community, to share, to learn, to change, to behold.
Thanks for listening to the message this week. Visit southelkhorncc.org, where you can download reflection and discussion guides to dig deeper into the weekly scripture message.